Bibles, please, and turn to Psalms. Turn to Psalms chapter 70. That's an easy one to find. Psalms chapter 70. Right next to Psalm 69. I couldn't even get the joke out. I had people over here already telling it. Praise the Lord. Had a good time yesterday playing softball out at the church property. That was a lot of fun. About 15 folks showed up and we did that. That was a good time out there. We had a great time soul winning yesterday. A lot of packets got passed out. Had a great time soul winning on Thursday night. How many people did we have that night? 15 at least, I would think 15. We well over 200, probably 300 packets went out that night. We are really chipping away at Streetsboro, doing a great job there. So I'm excited about that. Folks, I'm excited about that. Folks coming out and just wanting to tell people about the Lord. That to me is so very vital. And we've been doing a good job. The Lord is really helping us to do a good job out there in Streetsboro. So make sure you continue to pray that that goes well. You guys are going Thursday to Cedar Point, is that correct? Teenagers going to Cedar Point on Thursday, so pray for them to have safe travel over there. Cedar Point's nuts. We were just there, man. That's nuts. My favorite ride at that place, no joke, my favorite ride is the bench. Honest to goodness, I love to. It is a thrill. It's a thrill to sit there and watch the nut jobs walk by. I'll tell you that right now, just a thrill. But I would sit on the Millennium all day long. If they would just run that roller coaster all day long, I'd sit on that thing and just ride that all day long. But honest to goodness, it's funny. I tire out. It's so stupid. I'm only 44, but I get weary real quick. Even just waiting in line, I get weary real quick. So anyways, pray for the kids that they'll have a good time. Turn into Psalm 70. Let's all stand up. Give you a chance to stretch your legs real quick. Psalm 70, verse 1, the Bible says, "Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Let them be ashamed and confounded that seek after my soul. Let them be turned backward and put to confusion that desire my hurt. Let them be turned back for a reward of their shame that say, Aha, aha. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. And let such as love thy salvation say continually, Let God be magnified." Verse 5 says, "But I am poor and needy. Make haste unto me, O God. Thou art my help and my deliverer. O Lord, make no tarrying." Let's have a word of prayer. Brother Bobby, could you lead us in prayer, please? Yes.
I pray with you, Pastor David, as he preaches your word, Lord. I pray with you the words to say.
Please.
And I pray that you prepare our hearts for what he has for us. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you again for being here this morning. You may be seated. As you start to read this psalm, it gives you an idea that David is talking about, the Lord is talking about through David, an enemy. These enemies that you have in your life or we have in our life, David is crying out, and if anybody had the opportunity to cry out, it certainly was David about enemies. David had many of them. David conquered a lot of enemies, the Lord using him in a very miraculous way to bring Israel forward through all their campaigns that they had and the many battles that they had. And David is crying out here for God to make haste. Lord, please deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Let them be ashamed and confounded that seek after my soul. May I submit to you today that the attacks of the enemy, the attacks of those that would put you to hurt, the attacks of those that are of this world, and there are many of them, how many can say amen to that? The attacks that you're suffering today, the things that are coming after you today, I can tell you this with all my heart, they will not last forever. Maybe I should say that again so you wake up some. The attacks that you're suffering today, let me ask you a question. How many of you are going through something? I'm going to tell you right now, if you're not, get ready. It's coming. It's just around the corner. And I'm going to tell you, one thing you can say is, O Lord, make haste to deliver me. Because one of the greatest things we as Christians, one of the greatest things that we as people that know the Lord, and by the way, all my soul, I hope you, let me stop right there for a minute. I don't know how in the world you make it today without Jesus Christ. I don't know how you do it. It's crazy out there. I'm not talking about a church house. I'm not talking about a religion. I'm talking about Christ. I don't know how you make it without him today. Who do you ask to help? If you're a lost person or you don't know Christ as your Savior, if you died, you're going to hell right now. That's what the Bible says. I'm not going to take it out of the Bible because that's what's in it. Amen? So if you die today and you don't know the Lord as your Savior, I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not trying to be hateful. I'm just trying to be honest. If you die today and you do not have Christ as your Savior, you have not asked him into your heart, you're going to die and go to hell. I would God I could change that. But God made the rules, and that's the rule. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Saved is not a Baptist term. Saved is a Jesus term. Getting saved is nothing more than admitting that you're a sinner. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Did you know that? The visitors that are here, you're in good company. We are all sinners. Every last one of us. And I'm going to tell you, some of us worse than others. I'm going to be honest with you. We got some real humdingers in this place. We took them and made them pastors. We got some real humdingers in this place. But the thing we've got going for us is we know that we've got the Lord as our Savior. And if you'd be honest with yourself, you're a sinner too. I think one of the quickest ways to become a Christian is get honest with yourself. Come to the realization you need a Savior. You need one. I can't do it. Brother Mike can't do it. Preacher can't do it. Colton can't do it. Bobby can't do it. I'm going to tell you who can do it though, and that's Jesus Christ. His hand is not short. His power is not gone. His blood is still powerful. He still saves people today. And if you don't know him, don't leave here until you do. It's not about joining this church, although we'd love to have you. It's not about being part of our congregation, although I'm glad you are. It's about Jesus Christ and someday being a part with us in an eternity called heaven. Wanda Klepper is in heaven right now. She didn't go there because she was a good person. She didn't. She went there because she knew Jesus Christ. We put a lot of pressure on ourselves to be good people, a lot of pressures on ourselves to live a certain way, and I'm glad we do. I want to live as good people. I want to live as Christian. But it's not your life that got you to heaven. It's his death that got you there. What's amazing to me is that folks go out throughout this life and they don't get saved. You're missing out on a couple of things. You're missing out on something very simple. The fact that you get to go to heaven when you die and you don't have to go to hell. There's only two places. There's no in between. There's no holding out. There's none. No purgatory. That's not even in the Bible. There's none of those. It is either you got Christ and you go to heaven, or you don't have him and you go to hell. There's no other way. Look in the Bible. If you don't trust me, I don't trust me, by the way. I'm a sinner just like you, but you can trust the Word of God. There is no middle ground. There is no holding out. There is no getting having your family get baptized for you after you die so you can go to heaven. There's none of that. If you have him, you go to heaven. If you don't have him, you go to hell. You know, you're missing out on something else, though. Do you know while you're here, you can rely on Christ? Not just in your death. You can rely on him now. And the things that I see today, it frightens me. It scares me. And if I didn't have the Lord to lean on, I don't know what in the world I'd do. If I didn't have these verses in this Bible that I can talk to and have talk to me, if I didn't have these verses that I could think about, if I didn't have these verses that I could depend on, if I didn't have these truths that I could put in my heart, if I didn't have this, I couldn't say, make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Let them be ashamed and confounded that seek after my soul. Wouldn't it be great to be able to tell your enemy, I hope you get confounded today. Meanie pants. I wish you'd be turned backwards today. I wish you'd be put to confusion today because you're desiring my hurt. And my Lord's bigger than you. And he'll take care of you. You keep pushing. He'll take care of you. You keep going on. Hey, we're understand this. The world's full of sinners. We are too. You know, even as Christians, we've been the enemies of people from time to time. We just get stupid, don't we? I mean, don't we get stupid as Christians sometimes? We think we've got it going on. I've done this so many times. Good Lord have mercy, how many lives have I touched in the wrong way? You know what I mean? And here's these verses that you can count on, that God's going to take care of it. You ever sat there and thought, why do the wicked prosper? Think about that for a minute. Why do people continue to go forward? Why do they hurt people? They murder people. I watched a documentary on World War I. How in the world did they prosper that far, wicked people? I don't know, maybe enough people weren't calling upon the Lord. You know, maybe enough of us weren't realizing that Jesus Christ is the answer. Is that a side note today in this world? Is that a joke today in this world? Jesus Christ has been the answer all throughout the years, but it's amazing to me that we still don't call on Him for that answer. We don't have an intimate enough relationship with Jesus Christ. We don't read about Him. We don't pray to Him. We don't talk to Him. And because of that, I worry that even Christians don't have the relationship necessary to take them through a day that they have to face the world, have to work in the world, have to be in the world, and Christians get all depressed. Why? Because you don't have the relationship enough to say, make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. I'll fight the battle myself. You'll wish you hadn't. It's amazing how much the Lord is our last resort. Well, I've called in everything else. God, how many times have we said that? How many times have we done that? We have no relationship with Him to talk to Him in prayer long before the problem becomes too big. I'm so glad that I'm saved. I'm so glad that I can call on Him. And I've made this statement a lot in my life. How do people make it without Christ? Because I'm going to tell you, the older I get, the more I call upon Him. The Lord, please give me longer arms. Lord, shut up. Lord, please help my neck pain and back pain. You're only 44. Yeah, but I'm not in shape. I know you didn't know that. Did you know you can call upon God for everything? I'm trying to help you a little bit because I'm not even to my message yet. Aren't you glad? You can start calling on Him now for a quick conclusion.
Some things God can't even do.
No, I'm just... It's amazing how little we call upon Him for the everyday. No, think with me. No, I want you to think with me. How often do we call on Him for the everyday? Robert York's son, he's a pastor in Streetsboro. His son fell off a roof 25 feet. Busted his ankle all up. Broke his back. Stitches, I believe one of his hands is busted. He's messed up, but he could be dead. Now it's time to call upon the Lord. Wait a minute. Why do we call upon the Lord only in the big things? Please bear with me for a minute. I'm still not to my message yet. Why do we only call upon the Lord in the big things? Why do we wait until Wanda's laying in state in her bed? Why do we then call upon the Lord? Why do we wait until man has done all that man can do? Let's now call upon God. Come on now, stay with me. When our preacher was lying 14 days in a coma, we waited until the end, brother. Why? Because we thought that man was going to fix him. How long have we been around? We know there's no fixing him by man. But let me help you. What happens if you've got a bill you have to pay? Just a little one. Your car doesn't have gas in it. Well, the Lord's not going to give me gas. You'd be amazed. I don't have food on my table. Well, before your cupboards get empty, why don't you call upon the Lord then? All you're down to is tuna. Why did you even buy tuna? I'd eat tuna before I'd eat meatloaf, let me tell you that right now. I'm going to get a tuna meatloaf, you watch. Praise the Lord. Why do we, as Christians, we know the truth. We know the Lord. He's our Savior. But you know, He's so much more than your Savior. He was David's Savior, and David's asking Him for help. In our lives as Christians, and this is a great segue to the message, you must understand something. We have lost touch with what God can be in our lives. We've lost touch with what God should be in our lives. And if we turn to Him, I'm telling you, in the little things, certainly He's going to show up for the big. If you look at these verses, I believe that the answer is contained in the Bible. I believe that the answer is, if anybody talked to the Lord, it's David. I mean, he talked to God. He praised God. I mean, the greatest thing you could do in your life as a Christian, as giving an offering to the Lord, is praising Him for all the good things He had done. You'll forget about enemies if you start praising God a little. But how often are enemies first in our eyes, in God after the enemy? If God was first, I wonder if we'd notice the enemy. I wonder if God would go before us. How many battles did God win for Israel without them even firing a shot? How many battles? The whole company of the Syrians that had besieged Samaria had got literally heard a noise of chariots coming and left. The city inside didn't even know they was gone. Can't go outside, we'll get killed. Can't stay inside, we're going to die. So four lepers decided, you know what? I'm not going to die in front of this gate here. I'm just going to go ahead and go into the Syrians. If they fall upon us and save us, great. If they don't, we just die anyhow. The four lepers go out and they're gone. Syrians left, threw all their garments aside, said, we're out of here. Why? Because God made them leave. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Let them be ashamed and confounded that seek after my soul. You go after a Christian, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. Let them be turned backward and put to confusion that desire my hurt. Let them be turned back for a reward of their shame that say, aha. You ever had the world say that to you? Well, you put in your tithe, and God made your tire go flat anyhow. Come on. It's a funny, because you know what, God? And we do this, Christians, we get stupid. We're basically a stupid people, for that matter. Aren't you glad you came? And here we go. We put in our tithe, and it's almost like you're putting it in testing God. I'm going to put it in, but I'm going to be honest with you. If you don't show me something, God, that's going to be the last time. I don't think the Bible says that anywhere. I'm just letting you know that right now. You know, put in your tithe in and I'll show you I'm God. I don't believe that's true. I believe God wants you to just put it in. Now, that being said, I'm not here to money grubber. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. It's amazing. You do this and then something bad happens. It happens a lot, by the way. By the way, if you just get saved, I hate to tell you, you're probably going to go through a trial right off the bat. Isn't that about the truth, those of you that have been saved? Or do you remember when you just got saved and all of a sudden the devil comes up and goes like that? And they do. And the devil does that, why? To discourage you from being in the ministry, to discourage you from doing something for God, to discourage you in your salvation. He does that because he's your enemy. And the world will sit out there and say, oh, you churchgoer, ha, 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 I stayed home from church and nothing happened to me. You go to church and it happens to you, ha, 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 ha. I've had that a lot in my life. I don't know about your life. What good is God? That even scares me to say that. That makes me feel weird saying that. What good is God? I'm going to go through things. And by the way, the very person that's laughing at you is going to go through something too. But here's the difference. When they go through it, they're going to have to go through it all on their own. We can go through it, and the Lord can take us there. If we have a relationship with Him that's more than just a salvation and a forget, a salvation and a walk with Him is what we should have in our lives. Now, if we get to this, let them be turned backward for a reward of their shame that say, aha, aha. Let all, by the way, let me help you out here. Let me stop one more time. I do this quite often. Shame on you Christians that say, aha, aha. Well, that didn't go over very well. Let me say that again. As a kid, I looked at what happened as Christians as they must be doing something wrong. Come on now, don't you look at me like you never done that. Let's be honest. Come on, let's be honest. There's times that you've looked at Christians and questioned what God is doing to them. Well, I know this. They made their tire go flat because they were driving to the wrong place and God judged them. So I guess the foremost authority on God's judgment is you. Thank God you're here to let us know what God's judgment is on one of His children. Thank you. And by the way, the Christian that's going through that, they know that they're going through it. Has anyone not been aware that you are going through a trial? I know this is foolish talk, but I want you to think with me. The people that are in the trial know they're in the trial. They don't need your help to know. It's fat people are aware that they're fat. I'm aware. I'm aware that when I bend over to tie my shoe, I come up because I had to hold my breath to get it done. I'm aware of that. I don't need you to come up and say, hey, Brother Dave, you're looking fat today. I appreciate that. I hate skinny people because of it. You must understand something. We live a life that we're going to have trials all along the way. We're going to fight all along the way. We live in a sin-cursed world. If the one thing we've got in common is Jesus Christ, maybe we should use Jesus Christ to help the common. We are the greatest people at tearing down the weak and hurting those that are in trouble and telling them, by the way, I don't think anybody should go into the problem saying, what are you doing that's wrong? I think you ought to say that to yourself. Let me say that again. You're going through problems. You ought to review your life. I think that's a great first step. Review your life. What are you doing that might be bringing this to you? Then when you've exhausted all the possibilities that you might be doing to get chastisement from the Lord, then I think you should go ahead and say, God, please deliver me from these things. If it's a trial, Lord, I'm going to magnify you through this whole trial. But it's not our job to come and say, Colton, you're a dirty dog. That's why you're going through it. The Bible says, judge not lest ye be judged. Let me help you. There is a judge, and we should use this judge. That's right here. We should use this judge. Now, don't you think that you've got a free pass to do whatever you want? But at the very same time, we as Christians are not here to stomp on the other Christians. We are here to help the other Christian. It might be introducing Scripture to them to help them through that problem that they're having. Are you with me yet? We as Christians should look at a life as important to God. Now, verse 4. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. If you seek him, you will rejoice and be glad in him. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. And let such as love thy salvation say continually, let God be magnified. This verse particularly is speaking to those that are saved. Those that know that they're saved. And not only that, that love their salvation. If you know the Lord is your Savior, your depression should be short-lived. If you'd know where you should be going and come to the realization of where you really are going, you should find happiness in that trip. If you have in your mind that you're saved today, Jesus Christ went to that cross for you. Jesus Christ died for you. Jesus Christ offered himself to you. Jesus Christ has made a way for you. Jesus Christ paid everything for you. Jesus Christ put you in the path of somebody that knew that truth and shared it with you. Jesus Christ gave you a word that you could read and have faith in that for you. Jesus Christ has paid it all to him I owe. If you realize that, you'll get a little happier, and we should have celebration and joy as Christians over what Christ has done for us. Not that this world won't be difficult. Remember the first few verses. Make haste, O God, come deliver me. But at the very same time, knowing that you're saved, what can this world do to you? Think about that for a moment, Christian. What can this world do to you? The very, very worst that they can do is send you to heaven. What a rough way to go. Wanda, laying in state on morphine, that's what they do at the end. I understand all these things. She opened her eyes in glory, never thought about coming back. All the splendor and goodness of this world does not compare to the smallest things in heaven. Can you imagine that Jesus Christ tells you in John chapter 14 that he's going to prepare a place for us? For you. For you. I'm trying to tell you some news today. The news is this. This world should not make you so discouraged. This world will have you in derision. This world will have you in tough times. This world may even make you cry. We may even make each other cry. But at the end of the day, the very worst that can happen to us at any time is going to heaven. This world is not our home. We're just passing through here. What can the world do? Well, you don't understand what Obama's doing, buddy. I couldn't care less what that clown's doing. Couldn't care less. All the horrible things he's putting in this country. Get mad at me all you want to. Worst president in my lifetime. Get mad at me all you want to. Get mad, but understand this. Whatever he does has no effect on what God's doing. How can we build a church in this economy? God's not interested in our economy. By the way, did you know fuel levels have probably tripled since I've been here alone? We're still running buses. Did you know that? God's economy is not interested in man's economy. I got news for you. Jesus Christ can deliver you. And those that are saved need to get excited. Need to get excited about what God's done for them. Need to get excited about the things that God has for them. We should be able to rejoice and be glad in thee and such as love thy salvation. Do you love the fact that you're saved? I got seven people to say amen. And this is a Baptist church. You're not going to have very much fun in heaven, I'm going to tell you that right now. The people that are quiet in church are going to be the ones right next door to him. You're going to be calling the cops. Can you shut this guy up? Are you kidding me? You're on Baptist Alley. We bunked you next to him because you was quiet in church. Do you love your salvation? You didn't deserve it. You didn't earn it. What did you do? Not one thing. Is there something good you did in your life that the Lord looked down and says, oh, I got to save that person? I don't think the Lord talks like that, by the way. I got to be honest with you. I don't love my salvation enough. It's mine. Given to me. Think about that for a minute. I'm going to tread on some ground here. How much do you love your car? Come on now. How much do you love your motorcycle? I'd double dog diggly ding dong dare you to go up and kick Sean's bike. Huh? You go up and kick my rice burner, I'm going to be mad at you. It's not even a Harley. minute. Come on, now think with me. Do you love your house? Do you love the things that you have that are things that are temporal? Now, do you love what God gave you that's eternal? Salvation can never be taken away from you. I'm amazed at churches that teach that. I'm amazed at preachers that are willing to get up there and say, if you live bad today, you got to get saved all over again. I'm amazed at churches that make that part of their doctrine, that you got to get baptized to go to heaven. I'm glad you didn't live in a desert. I'm glad the thief on the cross didn't have to get down for a minute. And don't believe the priest that tells you that there was a rainstorm. God baptized him. No, salvation's been provided to you by a loving God, a lamb that was without blemish and without spot, one that stood up there in heaven and realized that the only way that Sean's going to get to heaven is if he goes down there and suffers and dies for that person just like you. How much do you love that salvation? Shoot, the bike will leave you on the side of the road. The car will break down. Tires will go flat. House could burn up in a fire. But you're never going to lose your salvation. How much do you love your salvation? How much do you care that God has given it to you? How much do you care? Well, glory to God, let's look at the next part. Those that love His salvation will get excited and rejoice and be glad and say continually, let God be magnified. How much do we magnify God? Well, it was me that earned that promotion. Liar. Well, it was me that bought my motorcycle. Liar. It was me that gave me that job. Liar. It was God that gave you everything. God gave you everything. The Bible says, in your flesh dwelleth. If I say that enough, you're going to memorize it. The reason I tell that to you, the reason I want you to have that in your heart is because those that are saved rejoice. Those that are saved realize who they are. Those that are saved realize who He is and what He has done to make the two come together. Behold, I go and prepare a place for you that where I am, there you may be also. Can you imagine getting to be in heaven? Can you imagine walking and meeting Paul? You know Paul was a man, right? I mean, he was a saint, but those that are saved are saints. There's not some giant sainthood put on somebody that the pontiff in all his great glory gives the canon to. Yeah, if you're saved, you're a saint. Woohoo! I can't wait to meet Paul. Paul is, aside from Christ, my favorite character in the Scripture. He magnified God. Oh, wretched man that I am. Magnifying God for all of His goodness. You know, this world is starting to fade away. I was talking to somebody the other day. The hymn and the things of this earth will grow strangely dim. Listen, the more you magnify Christ, the less you'll care about this world. The less you'll care about the things in it. The less you'll care because you'll understand that they are temporal. They are not something that we're going to get to keep. I don't care if you put it in your coffin with you. You know how many services I do where somebody puts a magnanimous trinket inside? And there's nothing wrong. Please don't misread me. There's nothing wrong with that. They're having that remembrance for them. I believe that with all my heart. That's something that people can hold on for them. But that trinket is going 6 feet under just like the person is. Their soul is gone. It's either gone to heaven or it's gone to hell. And I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to magnify God for all those that have died and gone on to heaven. I'm going to magnify God because there's going to be a day that I too will be laying here at this church, by the way, dead. Don't smile at me when I say that. I saw that. Boy, how exciting will that be? Woohoo! You know what? Laugh. I'm going to be looking down at you saying, I'm in heaven. You're still here. I want you to get a hold of this. I want you to get a hold of the fact that Dow Jones does not have the handle on your happiness. Your paycheck does not have the monopoly on your joy. Your job does not make it whether or not. And by the way, I hope everybody has money. It's horrible to be poor. It's horrible not to be able to pay your bills. I'm not making light of that. There's nothing that'll make the shoulders of a man stoop faster than being in a financial distress and having a family. Not one thing. I'm all aware of that. But those things are what we ask the Lord to deliver us from. Lord, please help me find a job. Lord, please help me do good in that job. Lord, please help me take the job. We live our lives in a place where we think that it's because of our own merit that we do things. It's God's merit. It's God. Let God be magnified. If you love your salvation, let God be magnified. If you love your Bible, let God be magnified. If you love your church house, let God be magnified. If something great has happened in your life, let God be magnified. If something bad has happened in your life, let God be magnified. Whatever comes in your life, come to the understanding that God is in control. Let Him be magnified. Now, how do we do that? How do we let God be magnified? It takes a little work. Believe it or not, that just doesn't come natural to let God be magnified. Do you know why that is? Because in your flesh. So to let God be magnified, you've got to be seeking on the spiritual side. Your spirit. By the way, did you know that if you get saved, inside of you that spirit resides? And you can call on it anytime you want to, but it's a battle. The Bible talks about that battle of the flesh and the spirit. The Bible talks about that. It's not necessarily easy to magnify God. It's not, hey, Brother Mike, was it easy for you to magnify God when you was going through the problems with your diseases? It wasn't easy, but he found a way. And I'm going to tell you right now, he magnified God through everything he was going through. It wasn't easy to magnify God when our preacher was out. It wasn't easy to magnify God when you were going through your health problem. It wasn't easy to magnify God. Why? Why is it not easy to magnify God? Why is it not easy to love my salvation? Why is it not easy to be a Christian that's happy? Verse 5 says, but I am poor and needy. Make haste unto me, O God. Thou art, look at this now, I hope and pray if you get nothing else today, that you can find this help. Thou art my help, my deliverer, O Lord. Make no tarrying. How do we let God be magnified? David knew something. David knew that he needed a deliverer. David knew that he needed help. David knew that life was hard. Has anyone in here had their life be real easy? And we could look around and think, well, the rich people have it easy. No. Rich people have a harder time of it than we do. You know, As I think about folks and the struggles that they have, and I'm going to tell you, I struggle, oh my soul. Life's hard. It really is. At the end of the day, David was, he was king. Right? Listen to the king. I am poor and needy. He had enough stuff. Amen? Apparently it's not the stuff. Apparently, it's not the things. Apparently, we're just poor and needy. And if you want to have great joy, if you want to have the ability to let God be magnified, then He must be magnified in all things. What does it mean to be magnified? Real easy. I have to put them on all the time. Glasses. To magnify the stuff that I can't see good. What does it do when it magnifies? It makes it bigger. God is saying to you through David here, make me bigger. Make me bigger in your life. Make me a larger part than just church. Oh, it's easy to be Christian here. It's easy. You're not going to be bad here. This is church. Everyone's watching. But you can be bad out there and not let God be magnified out there. It's easy to praise the Lord here. We're all praising God. Woohoo! Well, the most of us are praising God, at least 7 or 8 of you. We've got a chance in our life as Christians. And by the way, the enemy's watching. The enemy was saying, aha, aha. The enemy was showing us things. The enemy is watching. He's looking at us. What are we going to do with God? The enemy's looking at us, the last remnant of Christians in this world. The enemy's watching. How are we going to show him that we're going to magnify God no matter what's going on in our life? What's going on in your life that you can magnify God about? God, I'm going through a problem. Magnify God. God, it's getting tough. Magnify God. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm depressed. Magnify God. Let God get bigger in your life. Let God get bigger in your life. Why don't you love your salvation for a minute? That'll make some things go away right there. Love your salvation for a minute. Get excited about what God has done. He's preparing a place for you that's not built out of wood. He prepared a place for you that's not made of vinyl siding. Nothing wrong with vinyl siding. I got some on my house. It only took me 17 years to get it on, but we got it. Piece at a time. I'm going to tell you right now, it's not a place like that. That place is built out of precious gemstones. That place is built out of pure gold, transparent as glass. That's a place where there's no suffering. Aren't you glad? That's a place where there's no tears. Aren't you glad? That's a place where we never have to worry about pain anymore. Aren't you glad? No more death, no sorrow, no crying, no tears. Aren't you glad? Why don't you get excited about your salvation? Why don't you magnify God about what He's doing in your future time? By the way, one more little tidbit along with that. Did you know that's going to last forever? Amen. You won't ever get tired of it. You never have to worry about moving your stuff. You never have to worry about looking for a bigger house. House Hunters International. Won't have to move out of country there. Can you imagine how wonderful the water's going to be? Can you imagine how crisp and clean the water's going to be? Can you imagine how good the fishing's going to be? Can you imagine how good Dairy Queen's going to taste there? Hey, I think about heaven, man. I think about heaven because I want God. I want God to be magnified in my life. I don't always do it. I got to be honest with you. I fall short of this. I get wrapped up in all the things around me and I get upset sometimes. Hate to tell you that. I'm glad you don't, but I do. I get upset sometimes. I get just fed up. Fed up with this world. Fed up. Let me tell you something. Praise God about your salvation and magnify Him. You magnify Him, you realize that there's a sandwich. There's ham in this sandwich, preacher. That's a sandwich. It starts you out with the enemy. It gives you God's deliverance. And then it ends with you realizing that you're poor and needy and needing that inside of the sandwich. God is so good to us, even in the times when we're not good to Him. There's never a time when God's not good to you. Never a time. And I'll finish with this. Well, I think. I've never met a person that has regretted one day of serving God. Never. Never. Never met a person. Yeah, I wish I wouldn't have served him. Never heard that said out of anybody's mouth. Never. Never one time. But every person, they don't tell me, but every person, I believe this with all my heart, every person that has stopped serving Him regrets every day that they did. Every person. I'm not talking about church. I'm talking about every day, magnifying God every day. Did you know that the very king that I'm talking about magnifying God prayed to God to let the joy of His salvation return to him? I don't want to make you feel bad today. Everybody goes through it. Every single person in this room forgets about God at times. If you'd be honest, when the bill from the IRS, if anything from the IRS comes, I forget about God. I'm going to tell you that right now. Anything from the IRS comes, I grab a torch as soon as possible. That's horrible. Yeah, well, so's the IRS. And here we go. I used to be self-employed. Good night. That's a joy with the IRS. And there are times when the joy of the Lord and the joy of His salvation leaves you. We put down our spiritual magnifying glass. That's what we do. We put it down and forget. God becomes smaller and the world becomes bigger. You ever been overwhelmed? You ever had, Bible calls it, overmuch sorrow? You ever had it in your life where you feel like you're going down? I can't do it! You know what? Pick up the magnifying glass and magnify Him again and let the world get smaller. Let the world get smaller. Let Him get bigger. It's not easy to do. But it's the most worthwhile quest you'll have in your life is that quest to continue to find the joy of your salvation and continue to find how great God is. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. You could do worse than have that song in your vocabulary. How great thou art. How great thou art. When I think that God, His Son not sparing, sent Him to die, I scarce can take it in. See, it's good to know those type of things, to magnify God and let the world become small. Dear Lord, I thank You so much for this day. Lord, please help us to let You get bigger in our lives. Lord, to help return the joy of our salvation. I believe everybody in this room at one time or another, unless they're lost, they've had that joy. They've experienced that joy. They know all about it. But it's amazing how quickly the world will diminish that. It's amazing how quickly the enemy will take that joy away. Oh, Lord God, please, let us magnify You today. Let us think about You. Let us praise You. Lord God, I'm begging You for my own life. I really am. God, I need to magnify You more in my life. Think about You more. I believe that if I did that, I would complain a whole lot less. Lord, please help me to come to an understanding that You want to be magnified. You want to be worshipped. You want to be praised. And if I do those things, I believe You'll deliver. I really do. Lord, help. We are poor and needy people. Oh, God, we need You. Please help us today. With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around. How many can say they know beyond a shadow of a doubt, 100%, they know that if they died right now, by the way, this is not a time of joking. This is not a time of looking around. This is a time for you and the Lord to make a decision together. If you don't know Him as Savior, you're going to hell. I can show you Scripture. But if you want to be saved, there's still time. He's here and He wants to save you today. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You can be saved, and we've got folks that would love to show you. Please take this time to get saved. Don't wait. Don't wait. Don't wait. Let God be magnified for 10 minutes in your life so you get saved. We don't want anybody to go to hell, and neither did He. He didn't prepare hell for people. He prepared hell for the devil and his angels, not to do with you, not to do with the lost. But that's where they must go. Please don't be lost today. Get saved today. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I just wonder, if you're sure 100% that you're going to heaven when you die, could you put your hand up real big and tall? You know 100% that you're going to heaven when you die. You may put them down. I give you my word. I will not come to you. I will not embarrass you. I will not draw attention to you in any way. This is between you and the Lord. I just want to be able to pray for you. Would there be one that you know what? You really don't know. You're not 100% sure. The Bible says that you can know that you have eternal life. Don't you believe what the world's telling you? The Bible says that you can know. Would there be one that'd be willing to say, you know what? I really don't know.
but I sure would like to know. Would you please pray for me? Would you put your hand up real big and tall? I will not come to you. I promise you. I give you my word. I will not embarrass you. Dear Jesus, I believe with all my heart you want us to magnify you. Lord, I hope and pray through this invitation that you're magnified. I hope and pray in our life that we let the things of the world become strangely dim. We let the world go away for a little while and, Lord, magnify you. Oh, the joy would return. I believe that with all my heart, the joy of the realization that this is not our home. Lord, help this invitation. Oh, God, please. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand together. What are we singing, brother?